Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Game Industry News Gin Lounge. It is Neil here, along with Vinny.
Hello.
So I do want to take a moment to apologize. We did have to take a short hiatus. Game Industry News lost our longtime, our new publisher and longtime features editor, Greg Crow, who died suddenly recently. So we took some time off to deal with that, but we are back now. And we are here to talk directly about Nintendo Direct. And let me tell you, Vinny is excited. Aren't you, Vinny's?
I mean, it's Pyra and Mithra. Xenoblade 2 is like one of my favorite games. Come on.
So we're going to get into some of the announcements and hear Vince's take on people who are complaining about the Direct this year for a litany of reasons. And I'm sure he'll have some well-thought-out, not emotional reasons for saying why these people are wrong. Won't you, Vince?
I'm not going to say that anybody's wrong. All I'm going to say is that I'm very excited, and I would ask that people join me in the excitement rather than be mad that Doom Guy didn't get into a like T for Teen series.
So speaking of that T for Teen series, you said you're a big fan of Xenoblade, so tell us about what you thought with the unveiling of the new characters.
Okay, so you're probably going to think that this is extremely convenient, but my wife and I were talking a few hours before the Direct that I wanted a character who could transform, since they took that ability from Sheik and Zelda back when Smash 4 occurred. And she also knew that like Rex and Pyra were my most wanted. So when they revealed Pyra and Mithra being the character, that was better than I could have even hoped for, because it was literally both things I wanted rolled into one. And Rex is still present. He's in their taunts, and he cheers them on like he does in Xenoblade 2 when you're performing a special attack. So that's just phenomenal, and I guarantee I'll be playing those characters, because this is the first one I've been excited for since probably Joker and Banjo-Kazooie. I don't understand why everyone would be upset about it, though. Because the absolute thing I wanted was, like, or that I cared for, was Minecraft and Smash Brothers, but I was still happy for the people who wanted Steve and got to play as him. He even has some really funny trap setups and mix-ups, and I enjoy watching, I believe his name is Salem, play Steve competitively, and I enjoy that more than I do playing him myself, because I'm not very good with that character. Characters who have slow movement and rely on traps like that are not that kind of, they're not the kind of character I enjoy playing, you see.
So I want to share this quick fun story for the listeners. At one point, my wife Michelle and I was over at Vince's house playing Super Smash Brothers, and my wife loved to use Lucina, and her special move involved her sliding fast in one direction with her sword pointed out. Well, my wife had a bad habit of timing it badly, so more often than not, I would end up jumping over her, and she would just slide herself right out the level trying to stab me with her rapier.
That was actually really funny, because one of the times I lured her over to the blast zone, and she just shot herself right into death. It was really amusing.
I think that was when we were like playing at 2 a.m. too. We were all loopy. It was a good time. With the Direct, the thing I was excited about was the title. They had a working title on it, like Triangle Tactics or something like that.
It's Triangle Strategy.
It was the people who you told me made Octopath Traveler and Bravely Default, right? And I like Bravely Default. The video, the Direct show, reminded me a lot of Fire Emblem, but honestly more technical. So I'm excited to pick up a good JRPG for the Switch. Granted, it doesn't come out until next year, but the early screenshots and early video just looked phenomenal, and the story seems amazing.
Yeah, I mean, Octopath Traveler was a great game. The visuals really helped kind of pull you in, because it looks substantially different to other games that you might check out in that genre. Like, you look and see Atelier Ryza, and there's a whole bunch of other things that look like that, from the Tales games to East, you know, you name it. But then you look at Octopath Traveler and you're like, this does appear to be the same as these other pixel graphics games, but there's something unique about the lighting system and how everything just meshes together. So this being made by the same guys who made Octopath Traveler, which I greatly enjoyed, and it has like a neat little judgment system in between chapters that, from what initial information shows, lets you kind of like pick different paths and supporting different characters. I'm greatly excited for that game because I love things like Final Fantasy Tactics or Tactics Ogre, Eternal Poison, all those kind of strategy RPGs.
Just not Tactics A2. Tactics A2 can take a long walk off a short cliff.
Yeah, okay. I'm not a huge fan of that particular one. The Final Fantasy Tactics Advance games weren't horrible. Like, I think A2 did the judgment system a little bit better because they made it inconsequential. Whereas in the first one, the judgment system was so in your face, it could make easy battles take forever just because you didn't want to constantly get red carded. But I haven't played those games in forever to speak more on that subject.
So I did see one of the big points of contention with the Direct was people were expecting Breath of the Wild 2. And from what I've gathered through social media, a lot of them wanted to riot when they announced that Skyward Sword was getting a remastering or a porting?
So I'm not entirely sure about that. If the like Wind Waker HD and Twilight Princess HD are any indicator, it's going to be an up-resed port with some substantial changes. Because Wind Waker HD changed how the Triforce hunt goes at the end, and they made that a little less annoying. Then in Twilight Princess, they shortcut a few things that bogged that particular game down. And, you know, Skyward Sword has a lot of fat that could have been trimmed, because there is actually a really good game laying under the surface, but there's like three imprisoned battles you have to do in order to get to it, you know what I mean?
Yes, I will say, and this is my fault because I'm a failure of a gamer, I have not played a Zelda game more than 4 hours since Ocarina of Time.
Phony! He's a phony!
I played Majora's Mask for a little bit, but then the problem was I didn't have a Nintendo system to play a lot of the games on. Like, I didn't own a Wii, I didn't own a Wii U. I finally have a Switch now. But yeah, from what I gathered, Skyward Sword seemed like a down part in the series for most Zelda fans.
Well, it's because they tried a lot of different things in that game, and not all of it exactly worked. Because there was a lot of backtracking. So in order to get to like the second set of dungeons, you'd have to go through like portions of the first dungeons. And admitting, like, the second dungeons in that game were so much better. Like, the pirate ship one was probably one of my favorite Zelda dungeons that they've ever done. But also, I have terrible taste. I actually like the water temple in Ocarina of Time. So do with that information what you will. There was a ton of hand-holding, and they would always show you what the description for rupees were whenever you picked them up or something like that. I vaguely remember that. There were tons of silent realms, multiple imprisoned battles. I mean, there were a lot of flaws in this game. And a lot of it was done to kind of pad the game out.
Mm-hmm.
And if they kind of give Fee or Fi, I'm not really sure how you pronounce
the name
of the spirit. Yeah, exactly. I don't know how you pronounce the name of the spirit that lives in the sword. But if they make her take a chill pill and not pop out every few seconds with, there's a 28% chance of a 78% chance that the batteries in your Wii remote are dying. And crap like that, I could probably get behind it a little bit more, I think.
So what they should do is have her pop out the sword and go, hey, listen.
I mean, you joke about that, but I would actually prefer to have Navi back than Fee in Skyward Sword. Navi was annoying, but Navi was one text box. Fee pops up, if I recall correctly, more than Navi ever does. And it's multiple text boxes you've got to churn your way through, and she never says anything substantial, and never really says anything that you didn't already know to do either. Which I think is the worst part. That was part of my problem with Sword and Shield, is you're constantly being stopped by Hop, and he never says anything useful.
I was about to say the exact same thing. It's like having Hop come out of your sword.
Yeah, imagine if Hop followed you all the time. That was Skyward Sword. But like the combat in that game was really, really good. Though part of the problem with the combat in Skyward Sword was in teaching the player how to use it, if that makes any sense. Because you know that you play using motion controls. So if you swing the sword horizontally, the sword goes out horizontally, yada, yada, yada. But people who were playing didn't even know the difference between recentering the cursor and having to recalibrate the motion plus. And most people thought that you had to aim the Wii remote at the sensor bar and would get mad when it wasn't working. And that's because people had years of getting used to pointing the Wii remote at a sensor bar in order to make it work. But when you attach the motion plus thing, you didn't have to do that anymore. It could find its point in 3D space without even doing that. So you just swap your item, press down on the D-pad if you have to, and just go. Like, once you know that, the controls become so good that I love doing the, like, one-on-one fight on the pirate ship. That Asura-looking boss with, like, six arms was really fun. The demise battle was probably one of the better final battles in the series, in my opinion, because it's just a knockdown, drag-out fight. I could appreciate this. This is a cool backdrop for a battle. I enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, and some of the other things that popped out of the Direct was Splatoon 3, which, I'll be honest, you know, shrug, it's Splatoon. I mean, we're not going to break any barriers with the new Splatoon game. Now, I was interested with the announcement for the revamped Pokemon Diamond and Pearl.
Oh, heck yeah.
I will say, though, I am... Now, I understand Diamond and Pearl hasn't had a remaster like this, and technically Gold and Silver did. They had Heart Gold and Soul Silver back on the DS, but they did a Let's Go Eevee in Kanto. They're redoing Gen 4. I wish that they would give Gold and Silver like the full bells and whistles makeover, because it was such a solid game. It had the most, from what I've played, meaty campaign, because you had to go through both Johto and Kanto. The Pokédex was great. The plot itself, as convoluted as Pokemon plots tend to go, was all right. Like, it was just a genuinely fun game. So I miss Gold and Silver as a whole. I miss Johto as a whole. Yes, technical advances aside, the game was great with the day-night cycle, but I missed the campaign. It was meatier. You had both regions to go to. The adventure was corny, but what Pokemon game isn't? And a convoluted mess of things. At the very least, it wasn't as bad as the plot in Pokemon Sword and Shield. But I wish that we could get to that point where we could remake Johto. I would even accept a Let's Go game, to be able to get back and play that storyline again in a game that's not so ungodly expensive, because the secondhand market has just raised the price on Heart Gold and Soul Silver so much that it's just not worth me paying for it.
Yeah, and that's to get that, you don't even know if you're going to get a legitimate copy when you do all of that too. That's, I think, the worst part. But I think the reason why they're doing Diamond and Pearl right now is because in Gen 6, they did Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire after X and Y. When it comes to what ones they do next, I don't know if they'll be doing like a remake of Gen 2 again, or if they'll be doing another, if they'll do the first remake for Black and White. Because Gen 4 was the generation where Heart Gold and Soul Silver came from. So we'll find out, I guess, in probably 5 years what they wind up doing with that. But I do think the Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl trailer that they showed off looks really neat. The like cute stylized graphics they have for the overworld, I think, are absolutely adorable, because they look like the 2D sprites, but in 3D. I have no idea why I find it as precious as I do, but I think it's wonderful.
Now,
and then they showed off... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Before we get to the Pokemon Legends trailer here in a bit, I do want to ask you, are you excited for Mario Golf?
Actually, I really do like some of the Mario Golf games. There was one that I played on the GameCube. I think it was Toadstool Tour. And a friend of mine made me play that with him constantly. And it was pretty fun. But that was mostly because I learned that I could rapid fire taunt while he was taking shots. So you just hear, oh no, over and over again while he was trying to do something.
You truly are the Happy Gilmore of our time.
Pretty much. Like, Advanced Tour on the GBA, I think, was the one I spent the most time with. And that's the one that has some RPG elements into it. So you get points, and you can customize and level up your character and stuff. That was the one I really liked, and not because I'm just the stereotypical JRPG fan. Well, it is because of that, but also it's a pretty decent game overall. But new Mario Golf doesn't look bad. I don't think that is one marketed directly toward me, but it looks pretty good.
So I didn't mean to interrupt you. So they announced the, I guess, we get to do Pokemon two shows in a row. Aren't we lucky?
Yeah, right.
So they announced the Pokemon Legends game. And I just want to hear your thoughts. Like, I genuinely want to hear what you thought about it. Because it seems like Game Freak is swinging for the fences with this game. And I hope they won't repeat the same mistakes that Sword and Shield did, but I'm genuinely interested to see how far they take this game. And I want to know what you thought when you looked at the trailer.
It actually looks super neat. I'm actually less excited for it than I am for the Diamond and Pearl remakes, just because I don't know what to make of this game exactly yet. Because I don't know if the combat is like Digimon World Next Order, or if it's your more traditional Pokemon game. Because like in Digimon, you basically would give kind of orders, and the Digimon would basically do whatever they thought would be best with the orders that you gave. So they didn't really show too much of the combat, so that's, I'm kind of leery of that. But as for the overall wandering around, chucking Pokeballs at things, that looks fine. Like, the environments still kind of look a little bit empty. They need to work on their animation LOD distance a little bit, because a lot of the Pokemon, you might notice, were moving at, like, 2 frames per second or whatever, and that's because of a specific technique to reduce stress on the processor. And I don't know if they were showing that off because it's still, like, way early in development, which would make sense, because it's not coming out until next year, or if that's just the best they could do. I have no idea what to make of how this game will do performance-wise, because Sword and Shield didn't do well performance-wise either. But it does look very interesting, and I kind of want to know why the character has a dodge roll. Because if you have to avoid Pokemon attacks, imagine how awesome that's going to be to have to like roll through an eruption.
Pokemon Dark Souls.
Oh, I would be down for that. Like, suit yourself up like Lucario and just wander around until Ornstein and Smo drop on your head and crush you into oblivion.
So I guess if you had to give your biggest disappointment of Direct, what would you say was, whether it doesn't have to be necessarily like a bad game, but like something was missing. Like what did anything disappoint you out of the Direct?
Well, I don't really get disappointed by gaming news. Like, if there's something that doesn't appear to be directed to me, I just don't let it bother me. Yeah, I know they had a couple of like visual novels that they showed off. One of them was like the detective one, the Famicom Club, or I can't remember its exact name. I wasn't very interested in that one, as you could tell by the fact that I don't even remember its name. But the other one, World's End Club, I'm super interested in because the guy who wrote the story for the Zero Escape series, which is like 9 hours, 9 persons, 9 doors. I already did a entry on save state about that one. He's part of the writing team, the guy who wrote that. And the other guy on the writing team is the guy who wrote Danganronpa. So if that's any indicator, the story for World's End Club is going to be absolutely crazy. And since Zero Escape had some really interesting uses of dilemma and sci-fi, puzzle solving and stuff like that in visual novels, which I can't really elaborate on a lot of the stuff in Zero Escape without completely spoiling everything that happens. But if either of those two game series are indicators, World's End Club is in, you know, very good hands. And I'm not really much of a visual novel guy. There's a couple of series I latched onto very heavily. So like that's Zero Escape, the Ace Attorney series, and like the clean versions of Fate Stay Night. Those are really the only ones that I've ever followed. So I wasn't interested in the detective visual novel, but it wasn't directed to me. So why would I care?
Yeah, I know some people are saying Metroid Prime 4 is disappointing. Truthfully, I disagree, because if the last couple Metroid games they put out are any indication, I don't think they should put out another Metroid Prime game.
Well, you can't. Okay, are you talking about like the bowling ball one?
No,
or are you talking like Samus Returns?
I'm talking like Other M.
Oh, so yeah, Other M wasn't great, but in between Other M, there's been Samus Returns, which was like a complete redo of Metroid 2, that everyone was like, oh, we want a new 2D Metroid. We want a new 2D Metroid. So Nintendo put out a new 2D Metroid, and it didn't sell.
Yeah.
No one bought it. I looked up those numbers, it didn't even hit 500,000.
Oh, damn. Like, truthfully, like, what I'm disappointed in with Metroid is I wish they would at least port Metroid Prime to the Switch. If they did that, I would be happy. Because I would like to play Metroid Prime again, and I think the last time it was ported might have been for the Wii U, but I don't own a Wii U, nor do I plan to buy one for Metroid Prime. That's kind of overkill. But I would like to see like some of the Metroid Prime 2 ported over to Switch to be able to play it from, well, the better controller and better processing power. The fact that there's been no mention of porting it to the Switch has been kind of disappointing. I get the feeling that they might go do it eventually, but I was kind of hoping they would say something during Direct about porting those games over.
I'm fully expecting that they'll probably wind up porting over Metroid Prime Trilogy at some point, because Skyward Sword is showing that they know how to use the Switch Joy-Cons as Wii Motion Pluses for the purpose of those games. So I don't think there's any reason why they wouldn't do that. But you also have to understand that Metroid Prime 4 is still a long ways off.
Oh, yeah.
If I recall correctly, back in 2019, I think, Nintendo took the game from whoever was developing it, gave it to Retro Studios, and restarted the entire project. Completely restarted that game from the ground up, because I'm assuming something wasn't meeting their level of quality.
Well, I mean, you look back at the Metroid Prime trilogy. Metroid Prime itself was incredible. But I remember I had the second Metroid Prime game, and I was not impressed with it. And I don't think I played the third one, because I had a GameCube. I think the third one might have come out on Wii.
Yeah, it was a Wii game. I still liked Echoes. I thought Metroid Prime 2 was still pretty good. It's just, it was a lot harder than the original Metroid Prime. And you had more instances of needing to run through areas and get damaged unnecessarily, because you didn't get like a specific power up to not let that happen until afterwards. And then Prime 3 it's probably the worst of the three, but being the worst of the three in a really good series isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's still above and beyond when it comes to most games, but Prime 1 was still the best one of them, in my opinion. That was my favorite of the three.
Yeah, and I agree. And like I said, like I was not coming into this direct expecting them to say, we have Metroid Prime 4 figured out. No, I was hoping like at some place they would have said, hey, just so you know, we've listened to you guys and we're porting the Metroid trilogy over the Switch at some point. Because that would have made me happy, and I'm just a little disappointed. But I mean, outside of that, for the most part, between Monster Hunter Rise, Octopath Traveler, direct
triangle people, strategy.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say the people who made Octopath Traveler and Bravely Default, their game, as you point out with Smash Brothers, the characters coming in. Overall, like I don't understand why people were so angry at it. Because there was a lot of generally good news. It's just...
Do you want to know what it is?
Yes, and enlighten us.
There were a lot of Japanese games in that Direct. And, like, people are chomping at the bit for Metroid, even though, for some reason, people want Metroid so bad, but then when the Metroid games do get released, they decide not to buy them for whatever arbitrary reason. And I'm sure that this will go out, and, like, the four people who listen to it are going to be like... But I bought Samus Returns, I bought whatever, and I'm right there with them. But we don't put up the same numbers that, like, Splatoon does. Splatoon had, in two entries, I think almost has more sales than the entire Metroid series as a whole. Like, Splatoon put out crazy numbers, like 5 mil per game.
And yeah, it makes me wonder if some of it's related to the fact that there is a probably not insignificant amount of people who bought Metroid Prime and only associate like the game with the Prime series, because like that's the way they started. They started out with the 3D ones. They didn't play the 2D ones growing up, and they aren't as much of a fan of the 2D ones as some of the hardcore gamers are.
That could be the case. I know that Metroid Fusion still did relatively well around the time that it came out. I know that Japan does not really like Metroid. The last few attempts that they've had have not sold very well at all. Prime sold way more in like North America and Europe than it did in Japan by pretty wide margins, if memory serves. I'd have to look up specific numbers, but that's just going off my memory. So if I'm off a little bit, just know that this is me spitballing. But
we will judge you a lot.
I mean, what were the other games in the Direct? They showed off Legend of Mana, which is getting a port. That's a very good game. It got a lot of flack on release for not being what we called back then Seiken Densetsu 3, which is now ported as Trials of Mana. It got so much crap for that, that everyone's like, this is the worst game in the Mana series. Ignoring the first game in the Mana series. Not Secret, the Final Fantasy Legends one. When it comes down to it, people have insanely high expectations, and they want things that, I mean, you can't deliver on all of them at all times. Like, I was happy to see No More Heroes 3. The first two games were irreverent, they were quirky, frenetic. They were just solid times all around with a few flaws that might have impacted them. But for some reason, nobody played them. Like, it had the perfect level of internet humor. You saved by using the toilet. And in the first game, during a pivotal cutscene that would explain a good portion of why you're fighting a specific character, they not only belt out a Duke Nukem Forever joke, but fast forward through the dialogue like it's a VHS tape, because otherwise it'd jack up the age rating of the game. Like, I still need to play Travis Strikes Again, but No More Heroes 1 and 2 were really good, and they were...
I think No More Heroes suffered just from the platform it was on, because, you know, it came out on the Wii.
It had a 100 mil install base.
Yeah, it's just... Relatively speaking,
I get what you're saying. Like, people who would buy and play a Wii probably wouldn't pick up a game like No More Heroes, which is, you know, bloody, and in order to make your lightsaber work, you had to, there's actually not a nice way to explain how you charge up your lightsaber, so I'm probably not able to say that.
But so, like, imagine, like, and I think because if it was on something like if it was on all the consoles, like, it might have sold better because, you know, I could see people who own Xboxes and PlayStations just loving the hell out of that game. But well,
it got ported. Yeah. No More Heroes Paradise. I believe it sold better, but still not great, which none of Suda51's games sell that well, from what I understand. They're very quirky, very over the top.
He's a cult developer.
Yeah, it's effectively the what's the quirky game where that guy's talking to Zach all the time? What is that? Oh goodness, that's gonna bother me because I can't remember the name of it. It's another popular cult game.
Deadly Premonition?
Deadly Premonition, that is the one. So it's kind of the Deadly Premonition problem. You have this initial game that, you know, builds up a cult following, but those people weren't around to pick up the game like when they needed to shell out the cash in order to continue supporting the developer. No More Heroes 2 came out, which I don't even remember how well it did, but it was a better game by and large than the first, even though it got rid of the open world elements, which its open world was empty, so who cares, right? But they were just fun beat-em-ups. Like, beat-em-ups just aren't a very, they're not a very accessible genre for a lot of people outside of the major storied ones. So, like, people who grew up with God of War will be more likely to buy a God of War. Whereas, like, little Timmy, who had a Wii, probably wouldn't have been able to swing getting No More Heroes, you know, whenever he was, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old.
Speaking of beat 'em ups, another thing from the Direct was there's a new Samurai Warriors game for anyone who still plays Samurai Warrior.
I mean, the games put up consistent numbers. That's
they do.
Probably why they keep making them.
Say what you will, the Samurai Warriors and Dynasty Warriors crowd, they keep buying those games year in and year out.
I mean, I was just playing one of the ones they did that was a Nintendo crossover. Like, Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity is incredible. It's the most Zelda-like Warriors game they've ever come out with.
Yeah, we still have the Fire Emblem Warriors as well, so to be honest, like, one game I wish they would give another crack to in that same genre was 99 Nights.
I don't think I ever played that one.
That one had, like, a slightly more interesting story. You had to play all these different characters to get, like, the different parts of the story, and the characters themselves were kind of they were really interesting the way they were built. And if you want to talk about putting up, like, obscene KO numbers, like, at one point through one of the missions, I think I ended up finishing with, like, 3,100 kills. Like, they literally, like, as far as you could see on the screen, like, goblins would just come running at you, and, like, they did do a 99 Nights 2, and it was meh. But, oh my god, the last boss of that game, which you can only get with the one character, that I got that boss battle, he kicked the living hell out of me, and I'm like, I'm good, I'll put the game away now. But, no.
You admitted defeat.
Yeah, no, like, I unloaded on him, and I barely did, like, a 25th of his life bar with a fully maxed out character, and I'm like, I'm good.
Oh yeah, that sounds like a knockdown drag out fight. Those, like, war of attrition battles are always super annoying.
But yeah, so I haven't played a Samurai Warriors game since Samurai Warriors 2. I didn't even realize that, like, they were still making so we've all learned things today, people.
Yeah, when it comes to those Warriors games, you have, like, the Pirate Warriors games, you have the Dragon Quest Warrior series, Hyrule Warriors, Fire Emblem Warriors, and then everything else that Koei Tecmo does is in this large vat that I can't really tell exactly which ones I've played and which ones I haven't. I remember playing one of them, and a guy named Lubu showed up, and I remember running from him. Dynasty Warriors. Which one of those? Because I'm pretty sure that happens multiple times.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I love when Koei Tecmo messes with the formula a little bit. Because, like, they for a while there, they're putting out Dynasty Warriors, but then they put out like little sub games, and one of them was Dynasty Warriors Empires, where you had to do like resource management, and it wasn't just mission after mission. Like you had, like you could try to take over different parts of China. You could like randomize who has control of what part, and it just becomes like this really like wacky pseudo civilization kind of thing. But I enjoyed the Empire subseries more than I did the regular games.
Is that the one where they like have to catch the balls all the time and declare the people are out? Or is that Warriors Umpires?
That's probably it.
Okay, cool. That it was a terrible joke. Give me credit for trying. All right, whatever.
A for effort, C minus for execution.
We'll work on our pity laugh skills later, I guess. It was really bad.
you don't get pity laughs until we get to 20th episode.
Ooh, that's a long time to go for a pity laugh. Oh, Lord help me. All right, so like in October or whatever, we'll have our pity laugh episode, and I'm going to hold you to it.
Sounds good. We can play this during the show to remind us that I need to start giving pity laughs.
Yeah, exactly.
So I do want to thank everyone for joining us today while we talked about the Nintendo Direct. If you have anything that you'd like to say that you were disappointed or happy about, feel free to leave it in the comments. We are on most major platforms now, in addition to Podbean's website. These go on Game Industry News every couple of weeks, and the video itself the audio is on YouTube as well for those who listen through YouTube. And we look forward to our next show, which I will probably I'll pitch an idea and Vince will sigh and we'll just see what happens.
Yeah. And I can't wait to hear Counterattack and You'll Recall Our Names and in Smash Brothers while playing as Pyra. Day one, buddy, I'm doing that. You need to get Smash so I can help you get better too.
There's no hope for me. My ceiling's so low, I can't stand up straight.
That's very low. It's walk around all the time with scoliosis.
Poor guy. Do the duck walk. On the subject of duck walks, you all have an amazing day, and thank you for listening. We hope to see you next time.
Quack, quack.